Welcome to Cosmic Inspiration Radio, where we connect to the wisdom of the universe on Amazing Women of Power Radio. I'm Dr. Kelly Hunter, glad to be with you today, offering insights and practical guidance found in cosmic cycles and world mythologies that tell the eternal stories of our shared quest for meaning. How is your life story part of the larger story of this new millennium? We live in extraordinary times, a time to open our minds to new ways of thinking and being. My wish is to inspire you, to expand your horizons and explore new possibilities. When you change your story, you change your life. Women of power are amazing indeed, and that may be why they're feared or jailed or disempowered or put down in some way. Even we women do that sometimes for ourselves. We put ourselves down. We fear our own power, maybe because we're not so familiar with it. Over these last many thousands of years. And yet, that is why this time of women's re-empowerment is so exciting. And we are feeling that rising of energy within our hearts and our souls. Why is it that so many mythic stories of powerful females, they're demonized? Like, case in point, the story of Medusa. We remember Medusa as the snaky-haired monster lady who, if she looked at you, would turn you to stone because you were paralyzed with fear. And we still get paralyzed by our fears. And Medusa can help us find a way through that. So let's look at her myth a little bit that comes to us from Greek mythology, which is a little suspect right off because the Greeks were pretty misogynistic. Women did not have power in their culture for the most part. And let us keep in the back of our minds that this myth of Medusa is an older myth that may come from Africa. I believe Medusa came from Africa. And she wore her hair in dreadlocks so that the Greeks thought of them as snakes on her head. Perhaps she was a high priestess who wore a mask of power that created awe and fear in those who approached her so that they would approach her with respect and with awe. Awesome! Medusa was awesome! But how did the myth then get translated to this monster lady? It is said that Medusa was a priestess in the temple of Athena, the goddess of wisdom. And Poseidon, one of the gods, ravished her in the temple. And Athena got so angry that she turned Medusa into a monster called the Gorgon. And she had two sisters. I don't know where they came from. But Medusa was turned into this snaky-headed, monstrous, so that she was afraid of herself. And she went to hide in a cave. And if someone approached her, she would look at them and they would be turned to stone. Now, this is powerful because this is what happens to us when we confront our own fears. Fear of failure can stop us in our tracks. Fear of success can stop us in our tracks and make it difficult to take steps or move on. So let's see what the story can tell us about how to work with these fears, how to confront them and how to stand in front of them and look them back in the eye. The famous story is about the hero Perseus, who was claiming his kingship and his rightful place by offering to go on a quest. And the evil king said, "You can go and cut off the head of Medusa and bring that head back, and then you can become the king." He figured Perseus would be killed, that he would be turned to stone. But Perseus had the blessing of the gods, and Athena herself gave him a beautifully polished shield that was so clear it worked as a mirror. And the god Mercury gave him a helmet to make him invisible. And he was given Mercury's winged sandals to use to fly on the quest where he needed to go. So he had also a magic sword made of crystal with which he could cut off the head of Medusa. So there he was, all the equipment given by the gods, all the magical tools, all the things he needed, and he still had to find out where she lived. So he had to go here and had to go there, and finally he got to the outer reaches where Medusa was in her cave, walking through a graveyard of creatures and persons turned to stone. How scary right there. And then he put on his helmet of invisibility, and he took his sword in one hand and strapped the shield to his other arm. And he entered the cave walking backwards, stealthily, carefully, stepping backwards, feeling each footfall with jaguar stealth. Perseus kept his eye on the shield. He held it at his side, angled like a rear-view mirror. And as he retreated further into the cave, he was using it as a mirror, like a rear-view mirror in a car. You know, if you look in that rear-view mirror, that little, you know, the one on the side, it makes things appear farther away than they really are. Something like that. So as he was looking at his shield, there was an irregular light in the cave, and it rippled like waves across the polished surface of the shield, moving in slippery serpentine forms. And he realized he was seeing Medusa. Her back was to him, filling the shield surface with dark, slithering shadows of the snakes in her hair, seen as if from a great distance, haloed in undulating clouds. He felt suddenly as if he were underwater and took a deep breath to steady himself. When we are feeling afraid, we need to take a moment and breathe deeply to oxygenate our bodies, to ground ourselves, to release a level of tension. Three breaths is good. Take a deep breath, and as we let it out, the tension just can be exuded, often through our stomach muscles that carry the most tension. And in that breath that Perseus took in, he could taste the musky scent of Medusa, like some ancient salty perfume, evoking strange memories, perhaps of other fears, of other older experiences we have had that just seem to gather behind us and make us more afraid. We've been here before. And Perseus, focusing again on the mirror, he was now looking into her vast single eye, seeing his future unwinding like a long dark tunnel. Ah, the eye of Medusa. Is she awake or is she asleep? Is the eye open? Or is it closed? This powerful, penetrating, and paralyzing eye sees right through you and perceives with an objectivity like that of nature itself and our dreams boring into the soul to find the naked truth, to see reality beneath all its myriad forms and the illusions and defenses it displays. So wrote Sylvia Pereira in her book, Descent to the Goddess, about a descent to that dark, powerful energy within ourselves that we are afraid of, but we must confront in terms of those fears. The eye is the window to the soul. The mirror is another such window. Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? It certainly isn't Medusa. In the 1800s, there was a young woman poet who wrote, I sat before my glass one day and conjured up a vision bare, the vision of a woman wild with more than womanly despair. I am she realized. Here's this young Victorian woman who gave poetic voice to a vision of herself as Medusa, bereft of voice and words to speak her anguish and despair. Made mad, she said, because its hope was gone. Her speechless woe carries the weight of the Victorian restraint of women's vitality, sexuality, and power. In an era that was strictly proscribed options for women's lives. And this young poet, Mary Elizabeth Coleridge, her great uncle or grandfather was a famous poet as well. And she was giving voice to the anguish of the women of her age that would often call hysterical because they were so repressed. And this is the fears we confront, the fears of breaking through the glass ceiling, the fears of being reviled because we are expressing our power. And who knows how far we can take that. Here's the courage to step forth in your leadership role. So, back to Perseus, looking in that eye, in the reflection, reflecting, not looking at it directly, and therefore it did not have power over him. When we reflect in front of our fears, and sometimes this reflection gets help from other people who give us different images back to ourselves of, you can do it. You know, it's like, no, you have these talents and these abilities. Don't be stopped by your fears of what your father told you, what your mother told you, what your teachers told you. No, it is time to claim and express our power that comes through the heart. And then it is not damaging. It is not destructive. When it comes through the heart and through the generosity of the Spirit. So here is Perseus reflecting on his life and what has brought him to this point, and how much he loved his mother, who he was alone with because she had been cast off for bearing her child. And he's thinking about this, and he's reflecting on his heroic quest and the purpose of his life and all the help he's gotten from the gods. And he's carrying this magic sword, and he's reflecting in this polished mirror from the goddess of wisdom, and he realizes his strength, and he takes that sword and raises it and cuts through the neck of Medusa and severs her head from the body. And as he does that, out of her severed neck flies Pegasus, the flying horse, a symbol of inspiration and creativity and the wings of imagination. What a beautiful, beautiful myth, helping us see how to confront our fears. Sometimes we need the help of counselors and coaches, and sometimes we can look in the mirror of our cosmic blueprint that reflects back to us our connection with something greater, with the cosmos, that can reveal our life purpose. That's one of the gifts of my work with your cosmic blueprint, to reveal to you maybe the sources of those fears, and to help you realize that maybe they are not your own fears. There's a star in the sky, in the constellation of Perseus, that is the head of Medusa. And more than that, this star is the eye of Medusa. There's a curve of stars at the end of one of Perseus's arms in the constellation figure. And this curve of stars used to be called Caput Medusa, which means Medusa's head. And the brightest star in that curve is a star, Algol. Algol, the ghoul, the demon star. Every 2.5 days it gets bright and then it dims again like the baleful eye of Medusa, winking and blinking at us. And this star has the reputation of carrying the grief and rage of thousands of years of repression of our female spirit and repression of earth-honoring cultures that hold values very dear to the feminine heart. And we are, the star shines on us, and we are looking back at it, and we are answering back, moving through those fears, the grief and rage. Rage and anger is an empowering emotion, much better than despair and depression. At least has activity. A very dear friend woman in my life, we called her Mother B, Vivian Hester Benerson. She wrote a wonderful book called Afita, and she has a whole part of it on anger. And she said, "Let us become angry enough to care about ourselves. And then, too, we need to stop lying to ourselves," she says. "Let self-love develop as it ought to once we admit and realize that this power of love, is within our grasp. Let us become angry enough to care about ourselves." Here are the women suffragettes. Here are the women standing up and taking leadership roles. The recent elections in Myanmar, which is the new name or the old name for Burma. Her name is Aung San Suu Kyi. whose party just won the elections, and this is 25 years after she was jailed for trying to win the election and help her country become democratic. And she spent 2 decades under house arrest, during which time she continued to speak up and won the Nobel Peace Prize. Here is the woman facing the fears and repressions and saying, no, this is not appropriate. This is, you know, not what we are about. And here we go back to Medusa, the high priestess from Africa, who wore her hair in dreadlocks and wore this mask of power so that those who approached her would respect her, would honor her, would recognize her power. There's a new book coming out from one of my goddess scholar sisters. She's calling it so far the Medusa Gaze in Contemporary Women's Literature, Petrifying, Maternal, and Redemptive. And she speaks to the power of Medusa, the terrible Medusa mother, the monstrous aspect of the demonization of women of power and women who are black and brown and blue. In India, powerful goddess images are blue-faced, the deep, dark blue. And often, this is, you know, women of darker color who are demonized in this fashion. It's fears. Fears of women of power. Men fear women and their power over men. Mothers are the only ones, you know, that give birth. And so many men fear this power of women and women's sexuality and women's birth-giving power. Let's meet men on equal terms through love and not power over or power under. So it's not only that we are petrified in front of Medusa's gaze, but as women, we have that gaze. We can look someone in the eye and they think twice. And this is the power of knowing who we are and looking another person eye to eye and saying, I see you. Sometimes the person's like, I don't want you to see me. Like, what do you see in me? You're seeing right through me. It's like, whoa, am I really okay? It can be very challenging to another person to be encountered and seen by a person, a woman who knows herself. And when we are seen by someone, can we engage that gaze? And when we are frozen and paralyzed in fear of what is going on out there in the world and feeling that powerlessness with all this craziness and greed and corporate, you know, power takeovers and all of that, how do we reflect upon that and confront that and cut off the head of that monster? There's a book called A Sense of the Cosmos, in which philosopher Jacob Needleman expresses the profound nature of this critical time, the sacred moment that we are living now, the sacred moment of reflection and self-questioning. He says, there is nothing to guarantee that we will be able to remain long enough or deeply enough in front of the unknown, as we don't know what's going to happen. In such a moment of stillness, we are petrified in a state of internal transformation. of potential awakening. It's a core question that's a very emotional one, facing us with the unknown and stripping away our illusions. There we are, looking it right in the face. And the basic question we are being asked is, do I fear the darkness more than I love the awakening? And this is a question we are all facing in the throes of such a paradigm shift, such an awakening of consciousness, such a pivotal time in the world as we are facing now. And we each have our personal moments of confronting our fears of the unknown, of the void, of the fathomless gaze of Medusa, who challenges us to look her back in the eye and take steps to do what we are called to do, not claiming the power for ourselves, but wielding that sword of power for the love of something greater. Medusa, who are you in the face of Medusa? What is your power of the High Priestess in you that can look fearlessly out to the world and bring your love and power to the quest of success and fulfillment in your life, giving your gifts as you go? The greatest gift being truly yourself in your fullness. Thank you for spending time with me today. I welcome your feedback and any special requests for topics of interest to you. You can email me at kellhunter, K-E-L-L Hunter, at earthlink.net or call 802-456-1078. I'm on Facebook as Kelly Hunter Astromythology. And on my website, you'll find lots of interesting art and articles. The website is www.heliastar.com, HELIA star.com, with archives of all the previous shows, plus information on my books, online classes, and personal consultation and coaching services using your personal cosmic blueprint. Please sign up for my free Cosmic News email list for articles on new and full moons, discussing current planetary patterns and what they mean to our lives. We'll continue next time to explore topics relevant to living in harmony with cosmic inspiration on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. U.S. Central Time on Amazing Women of Power Radio, powered by Raven International. Music by James Anderson at jamesandersonmusic.com. Remember that you are being guided. Listen to your heart and trust yourself. Shine with the light of your special stars.